Chapter 8. Bob was sitting up in bed when Cheryl arrived at the hospital that evening, and his face split into a beaming, toothless smile when he saw her.
"Hello, love. How's Cyril?"
"He's fine," she assured him, pulling a chair up closer to the bed. "I think he was a bit upset when I walked in instead of you last night, but he seemed to have forgiven me when I popped in this afternoon, because he rubbed against my leg while I was feeding him."
"He's a good boy," Bob said fondly. "Thanks so much for offering to look after him. Took a weight off my shoulders, that did."
"It's my pleasure," Cheryl replied. Then, looking around at the other patients, who all appeared to be sleeping, she whispered,
"Bit quiet in here, isn't it? You must be bored out your mind." "It's God's waiting room," he whispered back, pointing to the ceiling as he added, "They've all got their tickets to meet the big man."
"So why have they put you in here?" Cheryl asked, scared that it might have been discovered that he had a life-threatening illness since she'd left him the previous night. "What have the doctors said?"
"Oh, don't fret, I'm fine and dandy," Bob said, reaching out to give her hand a reassuring pat. "And my bonce is healing nicely, so my last few brain cells can't leak out."
"It looks sore," Cheryl remarked, eyeing the blood-encrusted scab that had formed over the cut.
"Can't feel a thing with all the painkillers they've pumped into me," Bob chuckled. "Might stay a bit longer if they keep topping me up like this."
"No, you bloody won't," Cheryl shot back. "Cyril will scratch my eyes out if you don't get your backside home soon."
"He would that," Bob agreed, settling back against his pillows. "So, what's been happening there?"
"Nothing much," Cheryl said, smiling to herself when her stomach fizzled at the memory of Dale making love to her on the hallway floor before moving on up to the bedroom for round two that afternoon. She had never in her life slept with a man so soon after meeting him, but she hadn't been with anyone since Chris, and Dale's passionate kiss had reignited a flame that she had thought was well and truly extinguished.
"Earth to Cheryl," Bob teased, breaking into her thoughts.
"Sorry," she snapped back to the present. "What were you saying?"
"I was just asking if Chris brought you, or if you came on the bus," said Bob.
"I'm not with him anymore," Cheryl said, surprised to note that her stomach hadn't clenched at the mere mention of his name, as it usually did.
"Are you not?" Bob frowned. "Oh, I am sorry, love.
What happened?" Used to his memory slips, but in no mood to get into a discussion about her ex, Cheryl changed the subject, saying, "Irene from down the road popped round when I was feeding Cyril this afternoon. She said to send you her regards."
"Regards me arse," Bob rolled his eyes. "She can smell blood from a mile off, that one. Only woman I've ever known to take an empty shopping bag to the buffet at a funeral and leave with a full un."
"You're terrible," Cheryl laughed, amused by the image of their elderly neighbour rocking up to a wake with an Aldi bag in hand and shovelling sausage rolls into it.
"Only joking," Bob said.
Then, blowing a loud breath out through his gums, he flopped his head back on the pillow, saying,
"By heck, you've worn me out with all this gossip."
"I'm sorry," Cheryl apologised, concerned when she saw how exhausted and pale he suddenly looked. "Do you want me to fetch the nurse?"
"No, I'll be reet in a minute," he assured her, closing his eyes. "Just a bit tired is all."
Within seconds, his mouth fell open and his breathing slowed, and Cheryl quietly got up and made her way out when she realised he was sleeping. Dale was waiting for her in the car park. "Everything all right?" he asked as she climbed into the car. "He's a lot better than yesterday," she said. "But I tired him out, poor thing."
"Must be one of your superpowers," Dale said,
his eyes twinkling sexily in the car's dark interior.
"'Cause you sure as hell wore me out earlier.'
"'Don't be cheeky,' Cheryl said, smiling as she pulled her seatbelt on. Laughing, Dale reversed out of the tight space and set off for town, where he'd rebooked the table at the restaurant he'd intended to take her to the previous night. Hours later, after a lovely meal and several bottles of wine, most of which Cheryl drank because Dale wanted to keep a clear head for driving, they arrived back at Cheryl's house. Extremely tipsy and in no rush for the night to finish, she invited him in for a coffee and was surprised when he politely declined. "It's not that I don't want to," he assured her, reaching across the divide to gently stroke her hair away from her face. "But you're drunk, and I don't want you waking up thinking I took advantage of you."
"Why would I think that?" she asked, resting her cheek against the soft leather of her seat and giving him a seductive smile.
"It's not like we haven't already."
"Yes, I know, and it was beautiful," Dale interrupted. "But you need to go to bed, and I need to go home, okay?"
"Okay," she conceded, sighing as she unclipped her seatbelt.
"Hey, I hope you understand that I'm doing this for you, not me," Dale said, reaching for her hand when he saw her crestfallen expression. "I know we've only just met, but you're different from every other girl I've ever dated, and I really like you, so I don't want to mess it up."
"I really like you too," Cheryl replied, tingling all over when she saw the sincerity in his eyes.
"Then let's take our time and do this properly," Dale said, leaning over and kissing her, before quickly pulling his head back. "Now get out of here before I change my mind," he ordered, pressing a button to release the door locks. "I'll see you tomorrow, if I haven't been arrested for driving home with a raging hard on."
Laughing, Cheryl climbed out of the car and pushed the door shut. The warm glow inside her body repelled the cold night air like a physical shield, and she couldn't keep the grin off her face as she made her way inside after waving him goodbye. She had no idea how long this would last with Dale, or if he would even turn up tomorrow as he promised. But the joy she'd felt since their first kiss had ramped up by 1,000 tonight. And she truly felt, for the first time in a long time, that her life was about to get a whole lot better.